Good morning, warriors of the Most High God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Yes. To choose the right thing. How many of y'all know the enemy wants to influence to make the wrong choices? That's his job, and he does it well, doesn't he? Hallelujah. That's why God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, that which means understanding of what's happening, understanding of truth. You know, we are in such a time, and we are in a time of revival, but we are also in a time of the falling away. In Psalm 14, would you go there with me for a moment? And because we are in critical times right now, you see not only the physical battle, and it's over position in the political arena and the government. Amen? But it's actually spiritual. But the spiritual battle is manifesting in the physical realm. You know, Jesus gave us the prayer, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Amen? And that's what the battle is over right now, establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 9, which don't go there, it said a child has been born to us, and a kingdom he will establish in justice and righteousness, and on the government will put his shoulders. So you must understand something, that God is establishing justice and righteousness right now. That's why there's a shaking, there's a quaking, there's an exposure everywhere. Because the Lord is coming. And he's coming first through the body of Christ, then he will personally come. So we are in a time of 7 years of plenty before 7 years of famine. And so we've already gone through two years of plenty. Hello. That means Trump must be reelected because he's God's righteousness and justice in office. But people who do not see that and do not understand that is because they're disconnected. Amen. They have no idea what's going on. They're caught up in the world. They are totally disconnected and have no idea what's awaiting them. In Psalm 14, what does it say? Verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. He says, he calls them a fool. Now, what is a fool? A fool is a person who acts unwisely. In other words, there are also words for a fool. He's called an idiot, a moron, simpleton, blockhead, etc. These are called fools. Hello. Bonehead and everything else. In other words, they are acting unwisely. Because they're acting according to the wisdom of the world and not according to the wisdom of from above. Which the word says that the wisdom of the world is demonic. But the wisdom from above is pure and holy and true. But the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Now, again, it's not that he's saying that there's not a creator. What he's saying is, I'm God. I choose not to follow what he says. Does everybody get this? He says, they are corrupt, those who are fools. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good, none of them. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's any who understand or who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, no understanding, no discernment, no wisdom, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear. For God is with the generation of the righteous, the upright, the justice. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Again, he calls them fools. They are corrupt. They have done abominable things, works. They lack relationship with the Lord and the fear of the Lord. That's why he says there is no God. People just do and say whatever they want with no reverence to God. What does he say? I see all this political fighting, but I don't hear too much of it about what's God's view of this. If they do what's God's view of this, you'd have a lot of repentant individuals. Because if you still promote abortion, that is called murder. If you promote it, then you are considered a murderer and you'll be judged the same way who the same person that does the abortion. Does everybody understand that? In other words, we do not promote what God doesn't promote. It's amazing in all this stuff. They're fighting for their rights. They're fighting for all of this. They lie and there's all of this false freedom. They want to give free education. They want to give all of this stuff and they can't even afford it. It's all a bunch of lies to sway people. It's nothing but demonic. In Psalm 111. But will they get away with it? No, nobody gets away with it. Nobody. Everybody will stand before the Lord and be accountable for what they promoted, what they voted. What they approved. Everyone. It's amazing to me that there's no fear of the Lord in these parties. It's amazing to me. The foolishness of the U.S. citizenship. It's amazing that they don't get it. Amazing. Knowing that this country was founded on Christ. It's amazing to me. And how God is pouring out his spirit in all kinds of places and touching and visiting globally. And there's revival going on. But people are still fighting for their own lives. It's amazing to me. And verse 10, Psalm 111, verse 10, what does it say? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of those who do his commandments. His praises endures forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So without relationship and the fear of the Lord, there is no wisdom from above because God won't grant it. He requires relationship. He requires intimacy. In other words, they must be connected to him. You can't live this world and walk in this world and say you know God and love God if you're not following him and approving what he approves. If you approve what he disapproves of, you're disconnected. Does everybody get it? Everybody wants something from God. Everybody's waiting on something from the Lord. Amen? Everybody. But without being in position, the enemy steals it. In fact, he'll steal your life. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's going to be many people who do not realize that they will not have access to heaven will be shut to them. Access to heaven will be shut to them. I'm going to say something very profound. Very profound. I want you to understand this. The Democratic Party is going to hell. And they don't even know it. They will wake up in hell because of what they approve, what they promote. They will wake up in hell, whether they call themselves Christians or not. They do not abide by the word of God, the covenant promise. And many other parties, not just the Democratic Party. There are many libertarians and so forth. Even those in the Republican Party. Rhinos, they call them, I think. It doesn't matter what party. But you and I cannot be a promoter of wickedness and evil, murder, slaying of children that are unborn. We can't approve same-sex marriage because God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Amen. We don't approve those things. If you approve those things, you will go to hell. It's real simple. How stupid can people breathe and still be alive. It makes no sense. Does somebody get this? In other words, they don't indulge themselves in the covenant. They don't believe the word of God. They are fools. Okay. Psalm 119. I can tell you right now, some of them wish they could have come out of hell right now and told everyone. But it's too late. Now they're a believer. Because there's not one unbeliever in hell. They're all believers now. But they can't get out. They can't escape. It's done and over with. They were fools. Psalm 119:65. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me, God, good what? Judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was what? Before I was what? Afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Why? Because after his affliction, hello, you want to do that again? How stupid can we be and still breathe, right? Hallelujah. So again, before I was afflicted, I went astray. In other words, they went beyond the boundaries. We've talked about this before. God sets boundaries in our life. And in these boundaries, there are boundaries of protection. And when people go beyond the boundary, they get unplugged. Like I said, I had the vision about a cord attached to us was plugged into like a wall. And when they stepped over the boundary, they got unplugged from the presence of God. They were no longer being fed from the river of life. They were being fed from the river of death, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No longer the tree of life. And that's what the enemy does. He likes to get us. He draws us. He distracts us. He tries to cause us to commit sin, to fornicate, to promote things that are displeasing to God. Why? So that we can get disconnected. And you're waiting on God for something. Soon as that happens, everything's delayed or stolen. Everything is delayed or stolen. He will not approve something and release something that he doesn't approve of. And if you're doing something that he disapproves of, you won't get it. You'll have to work for yourself. You'll have to work out your own salvation. Does everybody get it? And get reconnected as quick as possible. And if you're in that condition when the Lord returns, you have no access to heaven. None. This is reality. The fear of the Lord has got to be released in a tremendous way to this world. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your what? Statutes, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins and gold and silver. Now, I want you to understand something. God does not afflict you or bring disease on you to make you better. That's nothing but a lie. That's a devil. Those are demons. The enemy afflicts you. Does everybody got it? God just steps back and lets the enemy do what he wants to do to you. Amen. Until you finally humble yourself or get things right. He says, I'm here. Come on, let me stretch out. My hand's right here. You just need to turn from your way and come and grab hold of this. And then I'll pull you out from the hell where you're headed for. I'll pull you out of the affliction. I'll pull you out of everything. But because you let go of my hand and you went beyond the boundaries and you've lost all of your treasures in heaven, you broke covenant with me, I didn't leave you, you left me. I'm still waiting for you. That's how he looks at things. I'm still waiting for you. Amen. So afflictions don't come on people, and all kinds of other stuff don't come on people just because they come. They come because we're out of order. We're over the boundaries. We're disconnected. Something's not right. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Everybody okay? Afflicted because of walking out of the boundaries of protection, causing disconnect, brings afflictions by the enemy. Because we are in a time of revival. Again, we are also in a time of the falling away, where many will or have reached what we call the point of no return. They've reached the point of no return. You can't even, they won't change. They're not willing to change. They, God willing, hopefully they'll, in their last breath, turn things over. But that's what the enemy tries to do. There, people are at a place of no return in this world. All things are possible with God, right? But they're in a condition of a place of no return. Go to Jeremiah 8. He says, if my people will humble themselves, right, and turn away from their sins, then I will heal them. I will also heal their land. But it's going to take humility, humbleness. But again, there are many not willing. They're at a point of no return to where they're not willing to humble themselves. Jeremiah 8 and verse 4. You know, they think life just goes on and it's okay, everything's cool, until they get in trouble. They get sick, they get afflicted, whatever it may be. Then I realize, oh my gosh, death is at knocking on my door. What do I do? Repent! Turn away! But some people, even though they've reached that point, still aren't willing to humble themselves. Verse 4, let's speak it. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a what? Perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to what? Deceit. So perpetual backsliding is a condition still holding on to deception. Does everybody get it? They're holding on to deception. They refuse to return because they're at a point of no return. I listened and heard, but they did not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned his own course as a horse rushes into the battle. Perpetual backsliding is a condition still holding on to deception. Does everybody get it? Deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They are fools. Glory. Is everybody okay? Verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. With all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Among those who what? Who will perish. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, they did not love truth. They loved deception. They were men pleasers and not God pleasers. And for this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Do you understand that this is happening right now? Turn on the news. Watch the debates. Man, you can see it. The spirit of veil is on them. Proclaiming to be Christians, promoting the things that God hates. Have no idea. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How many of you know that extortion is unrighteousness? How about perjury? How about fornication? Adultery. It's all unrighteousness. They rejected the truth and didn't love or live for the truth. And they're under strong deception. They've reached a point of no return, no sanctification of the spirit or following of the truth. Let's go a little further. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Through what? Through what? So if you reject the sanctification of the Spirit, are you going home? Heck no. I guess I should have said, hell no, but it's hell yes. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief in the truth. In other words, separated unto God and following the truth. Amen. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And may our God, Lord, or may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Again, this is happening globally. We see this going on globally. It's a state of deception, living out of the head knowledge, self-righteousness, emotional misleadings. They are fools. Fools. Oh, yeah. Verse 1. Same place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as though the day of Christ had what? Come, let no one deceive you by any means, that the day will not come unless the what? Falling away comes first, and the man of sin who is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, and that or worship that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. This is the falling away. We are in the fall. In other words, there's revival, but there's a falling away going on also. Is everybody okay? Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Are you all waiting for a title?
Yes.
Good. It's coming. In verse 18, is everybody there? Proverbs 29, verse 18. Glory. Let's speak it. Where there is not, there is no what? Revelation, the people cast off restraint. What are they casting off the restraint of? The flesh. Where there's no revelation. Well, you can't have a revelation without relationship. It's impossible. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off the restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. Why? Because he's at the point of no return. Casting off the restraints of the flesh, a servant will not be corrected by words. He will be corrected by judgment. Just like King David, when he went astray, he was corrected by judgment from God. What happened? He lost his son. Amen. He lost all kind of people. There was a tremendous judgment brought upon him. Judgment. Now, in Psalm 25. So, do we need revelation? Yes. Psalm 25 and verse 12. Oh, yes. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Oh. Psalm 25, verse 12. Let's speak it. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him he will teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged, and bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let the integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all her troubles, their troubles. Again, this was a prayer after he was afflicted. But there's something that is powerful that he talks about. And he says, look at the secret, which is known as revelations, the secrets from the Lord are those who fear him. They're given to him. What is the secret? It's called a revelation. Somebody get it? For those who reverence him, honor him, and respect him with relationship to the Lord. They are maintainers of restraints. They restrain themselves from what? Evil, worldly influence. But the fool lacks revelation. The fool lacks declaration. And those are two things that are vitally important. We must have revelation and declaration. Why? Because there's a spiritual law called sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. He who sows to the Spirit, that's declaration, reaps life. Jesus did not overcome the devil by thinking him away. He came and he said, it is written, by speaking him away. So for you and I, we get revelation. We get the secrets of God. It maintains the restraints. Then we declare the word of God. We decree it. We declare it. So there must be revelation and declaration as a constant for me and you to live and stay in position. Without that, people go astray, they get disconnected, and they become fools taking doctrines of demons. Is everybody okay? Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Let's speak it, please. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who what? Fear him, reverence and honor him, respect him, obey him, follow him. You can't say you love him if you don't follow him. On those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Why? Because famine will come. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. The eye of the Lord, that means connect. When the eye of the Lord is on you, it means you're connected. Does somebody get it? His eye is not on those who are disconnected. His eye is on those who are connected. This is the eye of the Lord. This is connection. Always waiting for revelation. What? To declare. We're always waiting for revelation and declaration. Psalm 66. In this, we must maintain a position in the attitude of worship. We must maintain a position of the attitude of worship, of the attitude of reverence, the attitude of joy, the attitude of trust, not allowing Satan to rest in any area of our members or of our new life, so we can maintain a new life. Do not allow Satan to rest anywhere. If you do, he'll begin to take possession. Amen? Verse 13, Psalm 66. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my what? Lips, in other words, singing, is that sowing? Yeah. Have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. That was declaration. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I'm going to say it again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. In other words, if you are promoting the things that God disapproves of, he's not hearing anything you're asking. Does everybody get it? Oh, he hears it, but he ain't answering. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. He hears all who fear the Lord and declares his goodness and righteousness and truth. You will find favor. Psalm 64. Revelation and declaration. That's the title. Amen. Revelation and declaration. No revelation, no restraints. No declaration, no sowing. And we must sow our way out of everything. In verse 7, let's speak it. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they'll be what? Wounded, or what we call afflicted. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Now you see something very powerful here. He says that he will make them stumble over their own tongue because they are fools. And all who see them shall flee. And all men shall fear the Lord, but they, all those who fear the Lord shall declare the good works of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Amen. The fool, they shall be afflicted, but not men who fear the Lord. In Psalm 119. Actually, let's go to Psalm 50 first. Psalm 50. When you see the word wicked, you can also represent it as a fool. Amen? In verse 16, let's speak it. But to the fool or to the wicked, God says, what right have you to what? Declare my statutes. Or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. Look at, this is not just a thief. This is one who approves and promotes abortion, who approves and promotes same-sex marriage. He says the same thing. You approve of the things that I disapprove of. He calls them a thief because they steal the righteousness of God. You consented with them, and you've been a partaker with what? Adulterers. You give your what? Mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you, and I will set them in order before your own eyes, says the Lord. Now consider this who forget me, he says, and my ways and my justice and my righteousness, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Very powerful. The fool, they'll be afflicted. He cannot declare. If he declares, in the eyes of God, it's abomination. Does everybody get this? He's trying to declare the righteousness of God when he or she is not in order at all. I've run into many people that are out on the streets trying to preach the gospel, but they go home and use dope every night. I've run into a lot of people that are alcoholics trying to go out there who live in fornication and try and tell people about Jesus. He says, you have no right to talk about me until you get your own house in order. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
What's the opposite of blessed?
Cursed.
Cursed. You'll be one or the other. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. Blessed. These are blessed. They also do no iniquity. In other words, they don't approve of the things that God doesn't approve of. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with the uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Blessed are the undefiled. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11, please. Let's speak it out. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Now, the gospel means a message of truth. Amen. It's about Jesus. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through what? the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, his plan, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, that I might what? Declare him, preach him. Among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, in this revelation came to him, and then he declared it. That's where he got the gospel from. Does everybody understand that? His gospel. Again, these are called epistles. That's why Paul, does everybody understand? He got so much revelation from being in the Spirit with the Lord that he wrote most of the New Testament. Through what? Revelation. So that you and I could declare these. But he was declaring it at that time. Revelation and declaration. That's what avoids affliction. Does everybody get it? You want to avoid affliction? Continue to be connected with revelation and declaration. You can avoid affliction and the point of no return. Matthew 24. Again, we want to stay positioned in an attitude of worship, reverence, joy, trust, and not allowing Satan to rest in any area of our new life. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one what? Take heed that no one what? Deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Is that happening now? "See then that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation." Nation is a representation of ethnic. "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." Is this happening now? All over. "All these things are the beginning of sorrows." It says, "Then you will be delivered up to tribulation." So we know that once this ends, tribulation is next. That will start the 7 years of famine. It says that they will deliver you up to tribulation. They will attempt to kill you. "And you will be hated by nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another." You can see that happening now. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Oh, you got quite a few of them now. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Amen? And I'm going to close at 2 Timothy 4, because we are here at this moment. That's what's happening. 2 Timothy 4. Revelation and declaration will avoid affliction and a point of no return. Second Timothy 4, starting at verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach, declare." Amen? the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Are we there? You got it. I'm telling you. In fact, there's many that claim to be believers don't even read the Bible. So what they know? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Well, do you follow him? Well, where is he? He's right before you. The problem is you have no eyes to see, nor ears to hear, and no heart to follow. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires. Their own desires, their own emotions. They'll gather together with people the same way that they believe, and they'll comfort their souls, and they'll all end up in hell. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers or news media or websites that approve what they believe in, but never checking what God says. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry, because this is the day. It is time. We're there. We better be ready. It's happening. What an honor and a blessing to be alive right now. To see all of this stuff happening. To watch the kingdom of God kicking butt. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's coming. The exposure, the arrests, everything is coming. There'll be a wave of God's judgment. He's trying to rescue people before his wrath. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, we ask for your forgiveness, mercies, and grace. We choose to do the things that please you, approve the things that please you, and repent for anything that we've done that we've approved of that displeased you. Sever us from those things, Lord. Wash us. Fill us. Possess us. Heal us. Deliver us and position us where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. And let your kingdom come and your will be done in us and through us. In Jesus' name.